Tools of Environmental Science. Section 1. Scientific Methods. The word science comes from the Latin verb scire, meaning to know. Indeed, science is full of amazing facts and ideas about how nature works. But science is not just something you know, it is also something you do. This chapter explores how science is done and examines the tools scientists use. The experimental method. You have probably heard the phrase, "Today scientists discovered." How do scientists make these discoveries? Scientists make most of their discoveries using the experimental method. This method consists of a series of steps that scientists worldwide use to identify and answer questions. The first step is observing. Observing. Science usually begins with observation. Someone notices or observes something and begins to ask questions. An observation is a piece of information we gather using our senses, our sight, hearing, smell, and touch. To extend their senses, scientists often use tools, such as rulers, microscopes, and even satellites. For example, a ruler provides our eyes with a standard way to compare the lengths of different objects. The scientists in Figure 1 are observing the tail length of a tranquilized wolf with the help of a tape measure. Observations can take many forms, including descriptions, drawings, photographs, and measurements. Students at Keene High School in New Hampshire have observed that dwarf wedge mussels are disappearing from the Ashuelot River, which is located near their school. The students have also observed that the river is polluted. These observations prompted the students to take the next step in the experimental method, forming hypotheses. Hypothesizing and predicting. Observations give us answers to questions, but observations almost always lead to more questions. To answer a specific question, a scientist may form a hypothesis. A hypothesis is a testable idea or explanation that leads to a scientific investigation. A hypothesis is more than a guess. A good hypothesis follows from what you already know and can be tested. The Keene High School students observed two trends: that the number of dwarf wedge mussels on the Ashuelot River is declining over time, and that the number of dwarf wedge mussels decreases at sites downstream from the first study site. These trends are illustrated in Figure 2. Students tested the water in three places and found that the farther downstream they went, the more phosphate the water had. Phosphates are chemicals in many fertilizers. Armed with their observations, the students might make the following hypothesis. Phosphate fertilizer from a lawn is washing into the river and killing dwarf wedge mussels. To test their hypothesis, the students make a prediction, a logical statement about what will happen if the hypothesis is correct. The students might make the following prediction. Mussels will die when exposed to high levels of phosphate in their water. It is important that the students' hypothesis, high levels of phosphate are killing the mussels, can be disproved. If students successfully raised mussels in water that has high phosphate levels, their hypothesis would be incorrect. Every time a hypothesis is disproved, the number of possible explanations for an observation is reduced. By eliminating possible explanations, a scientist can zero in on the best explanation with more confidence. Experimenting. The questions that arise from observations often cannot be answered by making more observations. In this situation, scientists usually perform one or more experiments. An experiment is a procedure designed to test a hypothesis under controlled conditions. Experiments should be designed to pinpoint cause and effect relationships. For this reason, good experiments have two essential characteristics. A single variable is tested, and a control is used. The variable is the factor of interest, which in our example would be the level of phosphate in the water. To test for one variable, scientists usually study two groups or situations at a time. The variable being studied is the only difference between the groups. The group that receives the experimental treatment is called the experimental group. In our example, the experimental group would be those muscles that receive phosphate in their water. The group that does not receive the experimental treatment is called the control group. In our example, the control group would be those muscles that do not have phosphate added to their water. If the muscles in the control group thrive, while most of those in the experimental group die, the experiment's results support the hypothesis that phosphates from fertilizer are killing the muscles. Organizing and analyzing data. Keeping careful and accurate records is extremely important in science. A scientist cannot rely on experimental results that are based on sloppy observations or incomplete records. The information that a scientist gathers during an experiment, which is often in numeric form, is called data. Organizing data into tables and graphic illustrations helps scientists analyze the data and explain the data clearly to others. The scientist in Figure 3 is analyzing data on pesticides in food. Graphs are often used by scientists to display relationships or trends in the data. Graphs are especially useful for illustrating conclusions drawn from an experiment. One common type of graph is called a bar graph. Bar graphs are useful for comparing the data for several things in one graph. Figure 4 shows the data in Table 1 in the form of a bar graph. Look at the data for Site 3 in the bar graph. The data shows that the concentration of phosphates is higher at Site 3 than at Sites 1 and 2, and the concentration of nitrates is lower than at Sites 1 and 2. Drawing conclusions. Scientists determine the results of their experiment by analyzing their data and comparing the outcome of their experiment with their prediction. Ideally, this comparison provides scientists with an obvious conclusion. But often the conclusion is not obvious. For example, in the muscle experiment, what if 3 muscles died in the control tank and 5 died in the experimental tank? The students could not be certain that phosphate is killing the muscles. Scientists often use mathematical tools to help them determine whether such differences are meaningful or just a coincidence. Scientists also repeat their experiments. Repeating experiments. Although the results from a single experiment may seem conclusive, scientists look for a large amount of supporting evidence before they accept a hypothesis. The more often an experiment can be repeated with the same results in different places and by different people, the more sure scientists become about the reliability of their conclusions. Communicating results. Scientists publish their results to share what they have learned with other scientists. When scientists think their results are important, they usually publish their findings as a scientific article. A scientific article includes the question the scientist explored, reasons why the question is important, background information, a precise description of how the work was done, the data that were collected, and the scientist's interpretation of the data. The correlation method. Whenever possible, scientists study questions by using experiments. But many questions cannot be studied experimentally. The question, "What was Earth's climate like 60 million years ago?" cannot be studied by performing an experiment because the scientists are 60 million years too late. "Does smoking cause lung cancer in humans?" cannot be studied experimentally because doing experiments that might injure people would be unethical. When using experiments to answer questions is impossible or unethical, scientists test predictions by examining correlations or associations between two or more events. For example, Scientists know that the relative width of a ring on a tree trunk is a good indicator of the amount of rainfall the tree received in a given year. Trees produce wide rings in rainy years and narrow rings in dry years. Scientists have used this knowledge to investigate why the first European settlers at Roanoke Island, Virginia, often called the Lost Colony, disappeared, and why most of the first settlers at Jamestown, Virginia, died. As shown in Figure 5, the rings of older trees on the Virginia coast indicate that the Lost Colony and the Jamestown Colony were founded during two of the worst droughts the coast had experienced in centuries. The scientists concluded that the settlers may have starved because the droughts made it hard to grow food. Although correlation studies are useful, correlations do not necessarily prove cause and effect relationships between two variables. For example, the correlation between increasing phosphate levels and a declining mussel population on the Ashuelet River does not prove that phosphates harm mussels. Scientists become more sure about their conclusions if they find the same correlation in different places and as they eliminate other possible explanations. Scientific habits of mind. Scientists actually approach questions in many different ways, but good scientists tend to share several key habits of mind or ways of approaching and thinking about things. Curiosity. Good scientists are endlessly curious. Jane Goodall, pictured in Figure 6, is an inspiring example. She studied a chimpanzee troop in Africa for years. She observed the troop so closely that she came to know the personality and behavior of each member of the troop and greatly contributed to our knowledge of that species. The habit of skepticism. Good scientists also tend to be skeptical, which means that they don't believe everything they are told. For example, 19th century doctors were taught that men and women breathe differently. Men use the diaphragm, the sheet of muscle below the rib cage, to expand their chest, whereas women raise their ribs near the top of their chest. Finally, a female doctor found that women seemed to breathe differently because their clothes were so tight that their ribs could not move far enough to pull air into their lungs. Openness to new ideas. As the example above shows, skepticism can go hand in hand with being open to new ideas. Good scientists keep an open mind about how the world works. Intellectual honesty. A scientist may be certain that a hypothesis is correct before it has been fully tested. But when an experiment is repeated, the results may differ from those obtained the first time. A good scientist will consider the possibility that the new results may be accurate, even if this means that the hypothesis might be wrong. Imagination and creativity. Good scientists are not only open to new ideas, but able to conceive of new ideas themselves. The ability to see patterns where others do not, or to imagine things that others cannot, allows a good scientist to expand the boundaries of what we know. An example of an imaginative and creative scientist is John Snow, shown in Figure 7. Snow was a physician in London during a cholera epidemic in 1854. Cholera, a potentially fatal disease, is caused by a bacterium found in water that is polluted with human waste. Few people had indoor plumbing in 1854. Most people got their water from public pumps. Each pump had its own well. To find the polluted water source, Snow made a map showing the homes of everyone who died of cholera. The map also showed the public water pumps. In this example of a correlation study, he found that more deaths occurred around a pump in Broad Street than around other pumps in the area. London authorities ended the cholera epidemic by shutting off the Broad Street pump. Using observation, imagination, and creativity, Snow solved an environmental problem and saved lives. Well, we've reached the end of this section. Before moving on, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions.